Welcome to the special edition of Straight Shooter. As you know, usually I'm coming at you on courtesy of SiriusXM every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over POTUS Radio. But obviously, I like to make exceptions because I got an exceptional guest on the show with me right now. And before I tell you who she is, I'm going to show you who she is. Sean, play that tape for me, please.
One of the most important moments in the long and complex history of the world. 47 years of extortion, corruption, and death will finally end. God bless the great people of Iran. Now, as you can imagine, that post did not go over well with the Iranians or with many Americans. I mean, I don't know about you, but I am sick of this shit. I'm sick of it. Can't he just behave like a normal human? I mean, honestly, like the president, 3D chess, shut up. Fucking shut up about that shit. You don't threaten to wipe out an entire civilization. We're talking about civilians just casually in a social media post. You know, like I am the first to try to understand Trump and his strategy and to not freak out over his weird social media posts and language that is loose and incendiary. Truly, I've lived with it for 10 plus years. I learned it the hard way when I was on the receiving end of it for 9 months. And truly, I think that was a gift to me in many ways because it helped me really come to understand what he does with his social media. But this is completely irresponsible and disgusting. This is wrong. It's wrong.
Welcoming to the show, back to the show, the one and only Megyn Kelly. Welcome back, Megyn. And I hate to say this, Megyn, because I never thought I'd say this in all the time that I've known you, but you sound like me. You sound like me. I'm just like, I said, damn it, I'm tired of the rhetoric. I'm tired of his behavior. It drives me nuts. I mean, it's clearly pushed you to that point. Is that not fair to say?
Yeah, no, it's fair to say. I mean, I'm in a weird place right now because I support President Trump. I've been a registered independent for 20 years. I'm not a Republican. People think I am, but I say all the time that I'm not, but they just refuse to accept that. But the point of me being an independent is that I not only have no loyalty to any political party, but it's important to me to maintain my independent judgment in assessing anyone, including a president I support. And I've definitely broken with Trump on the Iran war, and I'm in no way supportive of the way he's handling the messaging around it, from his unwillingness to be straight with us about his reasons in doing it, to stick with a consistent message. He just throws random things at the board and expects us to go with each one depending on the day and which one has fallen apart, and his irresponsible tone and words when it comes to the annihilation of Iranian civilians. All of it is objectionable. And look, my audience knows because they've been with me from the beginning. When I started the show, I was not really in Trump's good graces. Then I kind of got back in them. Then he got very angry with me after an interview we did in 23 and was attacking me again. Then I got back in them. It depends. You know, like if you say nice things about him, he loves you. If you don't, he hates you. We're in a low period right now. The audience gets it.
Do you, I mean, perhaps it's a rhetorical question, but I'll ask you anyway and excuse my language. Do you give a shit that you're not, might not necessarily be in his good graces right now?
No, I can't. I can't give a shit in my lane. You know, if you're really going to be a reporter, an actual journalist and an honest broker, you know, not somebody, forgive me. I like Sean Hannity as a man. He's a good guy. But I mean, that what he does on the air, I could never stomach, where you just towing the party line. Just, you always know what to say because it's defend, 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 whatever the right wing position is, the Republican position. That is not me. That you might as well get a job in Congress. Ew. But like that's, if you're going to be in the news business, you should be honest. You should be a straight shooter. If you never deviate from the party line, I'm sorry, but you're a hack. So no, it's a feature, not a bug of what I like to think I do. And it's one of the reasons why I generally, like, even before this, even when I was in Trump's good graces, you know, whatever, a couple months ago, I didn't go hang out with him at the White House, Stephen A. I didn't go have dinner with Trump. I don't socialize with people in the administration. You know, if I see him at an event, I'll have a picture with them and have a nice exchange. Right. I'm not a jerk, but like, there needs to be an arm's length relationship. I can't need them. I can't need their approval, or it would change my coverage. And the ability to break with him when necessary is too important to me.
Listen, I'm a registered independent myself, but in the interest of full disclosure, we all know I'm friends with Sean Hannity. I've known the man for 23 years. It obviously has nothing
he's
to do with his politics, because I tell him all the time he's crazy. I always tell him that, right? But I will throw this at you, not to defend him, but to ask your honest assessment of what I'm about to say about him. I've joked about him for many years saying this. A Republican could go out on the street, a conservative could go out of straight and commit murder in broad daylight. And the first words out of Sean Hannity's mouth would be, the liberals did it first, and have examples of what they did. So I don't view him. I get what you're saying, but I've always viewed him as he's so anti-liberal. His mission is to make sure he does absolutely nothing to help liberalism become empowered, because anything that he does that could remotely contribute to them getting in power is far more detrimental than being just quote unquote a straight shooter right down the middle without taking a side. Yeah. What do you say to people, whether it's him or others, who feel that way and that's why they take those positions that they take?
Well, I don't deny that. And I think Sean is a great guy. Like, I don't, in dismissing what he does as a news property, I don't dismiss him as a man. He's a genuinely great guy. And I've had nothing but positive experiences with him, at least in the past 10 years. In any event, I like Sean. But that I don't relate to that brand of news at all. It would never be where I went for my news, because I need to know what's actually going on. I just am not in the market for just spin that's going to support my worldview and have little sweet nothings whispered to me. There are people who are like that. How else do you explain Rachel Maddow's success? But unlike Rachel Maddow, Sean Hannity doesn't go out there and openly and willingly lie to his audience. I believe she does. And she never corrects herself. Mm. You know it's a lie, because if it were an honest mistake, she'd go out and correct herself when Russiagate falls apart for the 10th time. I think Sean is an honest broker and genuinely sees the world through his red-colored, not even rose, red, mm-hmm. red-colored glasses. In any event, it's just not what I do. It would never be a place I would go for my information, because the last thing I ever want to do is get embarrassed in not having my facts right. I mean, obviously, it happens to all of us sometimes, especially if you're in the information business. But I would submit it happens to folks who take their news in from the left and the right and work extremely hard to make sure they're not getting spun less frequently than it happens to hard partisans.
Do you believe there is such a thing that exists, according to the right, that's called the Trump derangement syndrome? Do you believe that exists?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and once you suffer from the TDS, you don't get over the TDS. Very rare. Very rare. It's like, you know, surviving stage 4 pancreatic cancer. That rare. You almost never come out from under the TDS. It's like a truly mind-warping disease. And that explains the Lincoln Project, the Never Trumpers, Bulwark, the Dispatch, so many of these like sort of right-wing entities that started as anti-Trump properties and now sound like full liberals, full leftists who live to, you know, ruin him.
Megan, I'm going someplace with this, because these people that feel this way about, they obviously despise this man. They despise Donald Trump, okay? They hate him to the core, and anything that would remotely come close to being favorable towards him, they're not uttering out of their mouth. Now, I've seen you, I've watched you, you know how much respect I have for you. You do not play, and you will call somebody out in a heartbeat. Sometimes you come across as somebody who is so disgusted and finds a human being so vile. How is it that you believe you are able to maintain a level of objectivity, feeling as disgusted as I've seen you feel about people, yet others have a problem doing so?
Well, I mean, when it comes to politics, I think I'm benefited from the fact that I grew up in a family of Democrats. The people I love most, you know, are Democrats. My mom is a Democrat. My sister was a Democrat. My dad was a Democrat. My nana, you know, like the people who I love, love, love so dearly are all Democrats. And I was a Democrat for the first 20 years of my life. So I know a lot of half my friends are Democrats. Like I know a lot of wonderful liberals. They're not leftists and they're not woke, but like normal liberal Democrats. So I'm able to see them through a loving eye, and I don't just automatically assume bad faith or bad things about them just because they have that party affiliation. Now, I'm very anti-woke. So if you're trying to shove that, you know, trans BS down my throat and all, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Then we're going to have a problem. Then it's going to be tough for us to spend a lot of social time together if you're going to talk about that a lot. But in general, I'm forgiving of people. Look, sometimes I get wound up, then I feel bad after the fact. You know, like I just did a thing on the Met Gala today. I was probably too harsh on some people. Like Lauren Sanchez, I'm conflicted on her because she doesn't seem like a bad person. She seems kind of sweet. But I'm sorry, her face looks like, I mean, honestly, like a Mr. Potato Head. It's been so pulled and the features are now so big. And it's like, she used to be beautiful. She looks so weird now. She looks like an alien. Why'd she do that to herself? So it's, you know, I go both ways on it. You know, I have sort of a mean moment. Then I feel bad because I'm a Catholic. I'm all over the place, Stephen A.
I got you. Well, listen, part of it is being able to acknowledge it. You acknowledge it so nobody can get on you about it because you don't hide it. You don't hide it, Megyn Kelly. That's just the truth. Let me get back to something else, to the midterm. Let me go to the midterms because you've issued a warning to Republicans, and I wanted to touch on you with this. You've warned Republicans could get wiped out in the midterms and say voters are turning on Trump. Now, obviously, you endorsed him. So what did you get wrong, if anything, that you believe will ultimately cost the GOP in the midterms when it comes to Trump? Can you explain that?
I don't think I got anything wrong because I would endorse him again. You know, I don't regret endorsing him, and I thank God still that he won. And listen, the two main things that I was hoping Trump would do, he has done. I wanted him to push back against the trans insanity, and I wanted him to close the border. And I give him an A+ on both of those. So, you know, I like my friend Tucker, his number one issue is don't start any new wars. And that's a big issue. And Trump said one thing and did another. So I understand why he's completely broken with him and he regrets the endorsement. But we have different priorities. And so we're in different places on that. I wish he hadn't done this. You know, I'm not pro-war. And that was also an important one to me. But in the hierarchy of what was most important to me, Trump has delivered and continues to deliver on a lot of them. And I could go on about the things that I like about Trump. You know, his petty, thin-skinned nature isn't one of them. And that comes out when he's dwindling in the polls, and he is right now. So he's kind of lashing out at a lot of people and a lot of things, and he's not being totally honest about where we are in this war.
Well, that's where I wanted to go. I mean, because obviously you've sided with Tucker Carlson about this while other people have been very, very big in denigrating Tucker Carlson. Just for the purposes of my audience, I want you to remind folks of what you believe Tucker Carlson is actually trying to say about this president, why he's broken in terms of regretting his support for the administration. And I know why you've sided with them. But to remind people, I don't want to interpret falsely where Tucker Carlson is coming from. I've never interviewed him, never met him. I don't want to misinterpret what he's trying to say about this president and its administration. So tell my audience what that is so we have clarity on that.
Well, the top line is that I think Tucker's feeling extremely betrayed and disappointed in this decision to go to war, this war of choice with Iran. And it really wasn't a small thing for him. Like, if you watch Tucker on Fox, and I've known Tucker for over 15 years, we've been dear friends, but I was always a fan of his, even when he wasn't in the primetime. He'll tell you flat out, I'm the main reason he got elevated to the primetime. Lachlan Murdoch said to me, who should I put in the primetime? And I said, it should be Tucker. And he listened. Anyway, the point is, I've been listening to Tucker and I know Tucker's commentary. And what he's been saying for all that time is he hates foreign wars. And he said nothing about Israel. All that time, he never talked about Israel. It was other wars that people were dangling in front of us, that they were thinking about going here or going there. And he would be very aggressive on anybody suggesting that any potential military conflict was in the United States' best interests. And he's straight out of the Pat Buchanan mold of Republicanism, who is like much more aligned with the founding fathers' goal of like no foreign entanglements, no foreign loyalties. You know, we can be friendly, but not actual friends with foreign countries, especially those from Europe. In any event, Tucker's been pushing that for years, long before Israel was in the headlines or even on the tip of his tongue. And so it was no surprise to me that when 10/7 happened and Israel was more in the news, he started to get more skeptical about like, whoa, what? They can do what they need to, but why are we getting dragged in? Why is the United States assisting in this? He saw it is very fraught that we were going to get dragged into this. And indeed, we did. And by the way, it's not just Israel. He's very against the Ukraine war, too. Like, he doesn't want the use of American military assets in any way but defensive. And he's not persuaded that either of these conflicts justifies blood and treasure of our boys and girls. And he wants us focused on fixing America. Like, why do our roads suck? Why can't young people buy homes? All right, so that's basically it in a nutshell. And Israel's been dominating. Israel's been all over the news since 10/7, since the devastation of Gaza, and now thanks to this Iran war. So Tucker talks about it. And then his critics say he's obsessed with Israel. He's not obsessed with Israel. He doesn't like this war, and he doesn't want us getting dragged in. And so this is all why the Trump betrayal of that promise, no new wars, and the very specific promise, no new wars in the Middle East, in particular, Quagmire and all the rest of it, felt like such a betrayal to him.
Do you believe, does Tucker Carlson, I don't want you to speak for him, but do you believe that President Trump has us involved in this for his own selfish motives? Or was he compelled and pushed into this, swayed to being involved in this by Benjamin Netanyahu?
I think the latter is true, that he was convinced to do it by Benjamin Netanyahu. I don't think it. I know it. It's been universally reported by every paper of record. He was talked into it by
Even
Benjamin
though Netanyahu,
Netanyahu
denies it. Netanyahu, in fairness to him, he denies it all the time. I mean, but go ahead.
He did show up at the Situation Room and present a long PowerPoint presentation to Trump with the head of the Mossad there via satellite. Like, that happened. Read the Wall Street Journal, read the New York Times. That's not in dispute. And President Trump then took all that information and brought it to his own security team, Pete Hegseth and the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, and others. And they said, it's bullshit. You don't believe that. He's overselling it. So there's no question that Bibi made a long pitch, and Trump overruled his people and believed Bibi. And that's why we launched the war. So it's Trump has agency. It was Trump's decision. Trump is to blame. But let's be honest. The person who convinced him to do it was Bibi Netanyahu, period. Okay. Having said all that, Trump, I think, like, there's a theory of a school of thought that Trump was blackmailed into it because he was so clearly against starting a new war, never mind one in the Middle East. Many people believe maybe somebody has something over him and he was threatened, you know, by Netanyahu or somebody. I don't personally believe that. I mean, I can't rule it out, but I don't believe that. I think it's Trump. He's full of hubris. He is a narcissist, like everybody who gets to be in that role. And I think he was drunk on his own wine after Venezuela and after the June strikes on the Iranian nuclear sites and was like, I can do this. And I love my military. I got all these cool tools. I want to show them off. What's the point of having all these assets if I never get to use them? And I'll be a hero, just like Netanyahu told him. You're going to be a hero. Regime change. Ayatollah is above ground with his top emissaries. We're in. We're out. Venezuela style. You'll be revered the world over. You might even get that peace prize. And Trump didn't realize he'd made the same pitch to every other president. You're just the first one to fall for it. And that nothing is speedy in the Middle East. And unfortunately, here we are 2 months later with the best goal we can get is to possibly revert us to pre-strike status where A, they don't have active control over the Strait of Hormuz, and B, they're willing to negotiate with us on their nuclear program. Why do we do all this for?
Okay. So with all of that being said, Megan, because I know you're running out of time, I only got time for a couple of more questions for you. And thank you so much for your time, which is very valuable. I must ask you this. You used words like drunk on his own hubris, and you pointed out how, you know what, he's making these decisions that are not necessarily in the best interest of the United States of America. Here we are looking at the GOP, the Republican Party. I look at Marco Rubio. I think he's viable. I think about Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida, viable. To a lesser degree, J.D. Vance. You're an independent. It's one thing to support Trump. Moving ahead, in light of what you've seen from his administration and those working under him, has your support waned for them compared to what you'd get from the Democrats? Is there a Democratic candidate out there that you'd like to see go up against the GOP as a registered independent that you are? Or are you still of the mindset to hell with the left with what I'm seeing? Either way we slice it, we're going to have to stick with the right side of the aisle, which is the Rubios, the J.D. Vances, the DeSantises of the world, so on and so forth. Where are you with that, Megan?
I mean, I cannot see myself supporting the modern Democratic Party that's chopping off healthy body parts on little kids who just have, like, they're getting bullied or their parents are getting a divorce and they have one day of saying, I'm gender confused because of those other issues. And the next thing they know, their penis is chopped off. I will never support a party that does that, ever. So I'm not as open-minded to Democrats for my own political voting as I once was. I will say the only one I've talked to who actually is speaking sense to me on Team Dem is Rahm Emanuel, who's against more foreign wars, who wants to cut back on all the funding we do of Israel, who believes men cannot become women and women cannot become men, and that so-called trans kids should not be playing in the opposite sex sports. That guy's made a lot of sense to me, and he's a tough guy. I like a tough guy. You know, like
I know Rahm.
He's a ball buster.
Well. I know
Rahm. Which I respect.
Yeah. His brother, and I go back about 25 years. Yeah.
Oh, does Ari represent you?
Well, Mark Shapiro, who works under, that's my guy. That's who hired me at ESPN in 2003. That's who represents me during negotiations now with John Rosen. Those are my guys.
Okay, yeah. So I like Ari too. Anyway, so I like him. But the odds of me voting Democrat are... I think all the Republicans would have to leave. I don't know. I'm definitely going to vote for J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio or whoever the Republican nominee is, unless it's somebody who's openly warmongery. Like, if they nominated Lindsey Graham, I don't know what I'd do. If it were, Lindsey Graham versus Kamala Harris, I just wouldn't vote. I couldn't pull the lever for her.
Oh, my God.
But if it were Lindsey Graham versus Rahm Emanuel, I could vote for Rahm Emanuel.
They're looking at it right now, and... You know, you bring up Rahm Emanuel. Is America, listen, I like Josh Shapiro for Pennsylvania, but would America ever vote for a Jewish individual to be the president of the United States? What are your thoughts on that, especially in these times?
I mean, unfortunately, I don't think so. I feel like the anti-Jewish, rhetoric that's been out there, the Democratic Party in particular seems to have turned for sure, Israel, but it goes beyond that in some cases on Team Blue and obviously on Team Red too, unfortunately for our Jewish friends. So I don't think so. I don't think a Jewish person is going to get the nomination by the Democratic Party right now. I really don't. I think they're more likely to be nominated by a Republican.
Last question for you, because I know you got to go. With these Democratic candidates, I don't think that Kamala Harris stands a chance either. I'm sorry. I think her chance is coming and going. That's just my personal opinion. Gavin Newsom, in some people's eyes, seems to be gaining traction because he's the anti-Trump. But I think ultimately people will look at the state of California, and I don't think he'll be able to wiggle his way around that in a general. That's just my personal impression. But that doesn't mean he won't win the nomination. Is there a Democrat out there other than Rahm Emanuel that you believe would stand a chance? Or do you believe it's going to come down to somebody on the right going up against soon to be former California Governor Gavin Newsom?
I mean, I hate to say this out loud, but I feel like both Kamala and Gavin have a chance. I would say Gavin has a better chance than Kamala because she's just such a disaster. Even though California is a communist state, I think it's because the Republican stock is so low. I mean, if the Republican stock were higher, they'd have no chance. But the poll numbers right now on the GOP and Trump are dreadful. Trump's numbers are so bad, and the Republicans cannot break with him because he will pummel them and ruin their chances of, he'll have them primaried, all the stuff he's doing to Thomas Massie and others right now. So they can't break from him, but he's becoming an albatross around their necks. I mean, his approval numbers have never been lower. The support for this war is down in the basement. It's literally one third of the American populace supports it. And even a large portion of Republicans are now skeptical of it, and right-leaning independents are against it. Almost no independents support it. So you can't win elections without independents. And they're 40% of the electorate right now. The GOP is only 28-29%, 28-29 for Dems, and the rest are all independents. So they're in a very weakened position, the GOP, which is what we call an opportunity for Team Blue. And if I were on that team, I would do my best to nominate somebody sane. I don't know who it is other than the one I mentioned. But even Kamala has a much better chance right now, as of today, than she had last time around, because the GOP is much weaker than it was when we were on Election Day 2024.
Megan, you know I'm always around for you. I hope you're going to be around for me, because I'm going to need you as these midterms approach. Oh. I trust that you are an honest broker. You know that. I know if I ask you a question, you're going to let me know where you stand and how you feel from the heart, which is all I care about. So listen, I'm watching this. The midterms are approaching. I think the Democrats are going to win, because I think that Trump is just the things that he does is just, it's just not going to mesh, especially when they know they don't have to worry about him being reelected in 2028 unless he circumvents the 22nd Amendment of the Constitution. This is the way it's going to be. So it's going to get very interesting, and I'm going to reach out to you again. Make no mistake, I will be requesting your presence on this show again. Thank you so
Anytime.
Much. All right, you take it easy.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, the one and only Megyn Kelly right here with Stephen A. Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A. Right here on SiriusXM, YouTube, and then some. Listen, the woman knows what she's talking about, whether you agree or disagree with her. She knows what she's talking about, and she's no joke. She ain't lying about where she stands, and that's what I care about, that you know what the hell you're talking about, and you ain't lying. And both of those things, is, as far as I'm concerned, she has down pat. So I love having her on. Thank y'all so much for listening to this edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly. I'll holler at y'all Wednesday night, POTUS Radio, channel 124, 6 to 8 p.m. Don't miss it. Until then, Stephen A. signing off. Peace and love.